And welcome to In-Game Chat, Saturday, December 14th, 2019. It is Season 13, Episode 44, and I'm Scott. That's it. That's all you get. We've been doing this show, I want to say since 2007, I think is when we started the show. February of 2007. It was around the time Crackdown came out. Whatever year that was, and I want to say that was 2007. We started in this room. We have done it from different locations before. There have been times we've done it when I wasn't here, when I was out of town. There was a time we did it. I was in the hospital. The show has carried on and been done and kept going. Don't worry, it's still going. It's not stopping. I don't want to give that impression. But what I do want to say is this is the very first time in ever how many years we have done it, in every how many locations we have broadcast from, in ever how many weird ways we have done a show, from a hotel room, from my living room, from a basement, from an attic, which is where we're at now. There's always been at least more than one person on the show. That stops today. For today, because of how schedules work out and everything else, it is just me. For those of you who have only listened to me through this particular show, it might surprise... Well, actually, no. From this particular show... And from all the other stuff that I do here, for those of you who listen to me in the mornings with Greg and Rich, for those of you who have heard me on commercials and everything else, it's the first time I've ever done a show by myself. The first time ever I've ever done a show by myself with nobody else here. So it is a first for me. It is a first for this show. And we're going to see how it works. It is not something that I hope continues, I can tell you that. I hope that RJ will be back next week, I believe. And and maybe Matt will too, maybe Nate as well, I don't know. But it won't be just me again. And then I think we're getting into the Christmas holidays. We'll probably run a replay at some point on the weekends, the bookend, that sort of thing. So we'll see about that. Lethal Migraine reminds me about the clipboard, which I've got right here. There, and it's done. So yeah, put that to the side there. So bear with me in any sort of thing. I have never done a show by myself in either this iteration of what we do here or in any other iteration of being on the radio. Which is odd because plenty of people do shows by themselves. Plenty of people do shows, just them. But I never have. Never really had a fear of it. I do remember earlier on thinking that if it ever came to it, I wouldn't do a show by myself. I'd just run a replay if I had enough time to prepare. Or I would, maybe I'd call Sarah, see if she'd come down and be on the show, something like that. But... No, I thought, you know, give it a shot, see what happens. You've never done it, do it. You know? So that's what I'm doing. If you'd like to get in touch with us, again, my attention, and it is just me, my attention will be focused. The head will be turned just a slightly too away from the phone, but just let it keep ringing and I'll eventually pick up. But if you would like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can find us on Facebook at ingamechat. You can also email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. You can watch us on Twitch right now. I say us. It's just me. You can watch me on Twitch right now just by going to your browser. Type in twitch.tv/ingamechat or go to twitch.tv and then type in the search bar, ingamechat, and you'll be able to find us. Go to our website and just click on the link, and then boom, you'll be right there. I have no idea if the camera is – I don't know how it looks. It's behind me here, and so when I turn, obviously I can't see what that looks. I guess I could pull it up on my laptop here and see and make the changes, but I guess I'm not too worried about it. What I wanted to do was kind of not put this in my face, which is the microphone that I'm pointing at, but also have it at a position where I could keep my attention focused towards the camera instead of away while I read some of the show notes that I've got here as well. So again, checks the phone, and there it is. The phone is ringing. Going in blind on this. I have no idea who is calling right now, but we'll just talk to them. Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
Hey, this is Ritz.
Ritz?
Yeah.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Yeah. All right. Hey, I just wanted to call up and inspire you. I know you can do it. You're a trained professional. And remember that famous quote. You can do it, water boy.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody already put that in the chat room that we've got here. Somebody said, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it / Cajun is what it says. You can do it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I appreciate the I appreciate the call and the encouragement.
Well, I listen to you all the time. The only other time I called was, it's been, I guess, about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Your flying programs, pilot programs.
Oh, yeah, flight sims.
Yeah, flight sims. That's the word I'm searching for.
Yep.
Yeah, you wouldn't happen to know if anybody's doing anything with those flight simulators anymore, or is it still just twisting in the wind?
Well, you are in luck. At E3 this past year, which was back in June, and subsequent months following that, they have been showing off the footage of Microsoft's next flight simulator, and it looks fantastic. It looks much better than whatever they tried a couple of years back to do. I don't know what that was, but it didn't really work out too well. But the Microsoft Flight Simulator, I don't know when that's releasing. I want to say it's early next year, probably, unless it already has, and I'm completely oblivious to it. But I believe we're getting a new Microsoft Flight Simulator next year.
That is awesome because, I'm not much into gaming, but I did like Flight Simulator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old school. You know, I played Galaga and Pac-Man, but that's about the extent of my gaming. And then life happened, and I started to. I was faced with the chore of raising and educating some children.
Yeah,
so my game playing ended.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, but I still build computers and stuff like that. But I just never had the time really to devote it to any gaming. But I did get into the flight simulators and enjoyed that immensely. And I'm glad to hear that. I appreciate you letting me know.
Yeah, it is. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube when you get a chance and just type in Microsoft Flight Sim 2019, and you should get plenty of video.
That is awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling in.
Hey, I appreciate it. And also, good luck on your solo flight.
Thank you very much. Exactly what it is.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yeah, I'm not. It's something I've never done, and I don't want to dwell on it too much. But just I've never done a show by myself. I have been left in the room by myself to cover for a few minutes until somebody got back, which is not a problem. But to carry on with a two-hour show, never done it before. This is the first time I've ever done it in my life. I've been in radio for 20 years or more, maybe. I have no problem with it. It's just never been a thought of let's do it by me. I like to have other people's input and opinions. Just as that caller there called in to talk about flight sims and what they used to play anyway. But if you want to call us, you can, 334-272-9228. Again, I will take a look at the phone from time to time to see if it's ringing there. And, you know, I've got another way to look at that, so I'll check that too. But anyway, give us a call if you want to get on the show. We are going to talk about video games. I'm going to try to not, like, I know Lethal Migraine's biggest fear is like, oh God, he's going to go on forever for Destiny. He's not. Well, crap. I say that I'm not, but they did release their next season this past week, and so I put in some time with that, so I might give it a little bit of attention, but yeah, so we'll see when I get there, if I get there. There's plenty of other stuff I can talk about. Another phone line here. Hey, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. So you're by yourself today, huh?
Yeah, going it alone, man. I kicked them all out. I just got tired of it. RJ with his, well, I don't know. There's really, I can't find a fault in that man. so there's really no point.
At one of those tournaments he likes to do every now and then.
He actually, no. He had a family engagement today. So, yeah, and it would have been fine either way. Again, none of those other guys get paid for this thing. They come in, they volunteer their own time to come in and be on the show. So they got other things going on, then they got other things going on. I have no money I can hold over their head to keep them here.
Yeah.
So, what's been going on with you? What have you been working on?
Oh, not much. More of Death Stranding and more enjoying more and just still farting around in Skyrim VR with the headset, just goofing off. And yeah, I was having a ball messing with the different islands, you know, picking them up and tossing them up in the air and grabbing them midair and flipping bowls up in the air, and so just messing around, having a good time. And
VR is a fun place, a fun space to play in.
Yeah, it is definitely different. And for anybody out there listening to us, you know, if you've thought about wanting to get one of these headsets and you've always wondered what it's like, you really have to experience for yourself. We really can't describe what it looks like. The closest thing is these made up digital worlds and things that you can explore into different games that's like looking around your surroundings in real life, but you know it's not a real world that you're looking at, and you really have to experience it yourself, and you may like it, and then you may have like me and Scott that, you know, you just love it, and it's cool what you can do and have fun in these little environments.
It is. I do enjoy it whenever I get in there. I was going to remind you, now that you've got a VR setup, don't forget to get the Star Trek Bridge Crew. I think you would enjoy that.
Okay.
I think you would really enjoy that. It's multiplayer, but I think it's really cool. And it's cross-platform multiplayer, by the way. But yeah, you just control the bridge of each person in your team. Five people are given stations, and that's what you control.
I remember seeing one of the funny videos online where they were goofing around and stuff about that, making a funny video and doing.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's just you control it, and I think it's. I say you control it, but it's more, you know, everybody has their job, so, and I think it's. I'm fascinated by it, but I never jumped into it. So, if you're looking for something different, and I think it's pretty. It's pretty well discounted. I think it's at least down to like $20. So,
yeah.
Appreciate you calling in, Chris.
All right. Well, have a good day.
Thank you. You too, man.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Again, if you'd like to get in touch with us, 272-9228 is our phone number. There's a lot to go over, so it's not really something where I could just tell you about. I tell you what I'll do. Let me get the Destiny talk out of the way, because it is all that I played. But I want to get that out of the way so that I can spend ever how much more time on basically the Game Awards and everything that was announced there, plus all the other news that we've got, because there was a lot that was announced at the Game Awards that happened. And I'm not even talking about the awards themselves. I'm not even going to, you know, I'm not really going into the awards. I didn't really all care all that much for the awards, but we will talk about it. So, and all the different, there's tons of trailers that were shown off, games that were announced, systems that were revealed. We knew they were coming, but I didn't know they were coming at the Game Awards. So we'll have all that coming up. To talk about Destiny 2 right now, Lethal Migraine, you can come back after the break. But to talk about Destiny 2, yes, they launched Season 9, Season of the Dawn, or Season of Dawn, something like that, which is fitting for the fact that their Christmas event called The Dawning starts next week. And it's a nice, it's a Christmas event, holiday event, whatever you want to call it. It's about baking cookies, and it's an interesting thing. It's another thing to grind. And there's a whole lot of stuff to grind in Destiny. But on this one, a lot of stuff is time gated again, so you can't just run in there and get it all done in one, you know, weekend or week or something like that. It's all time gated. So, some story about time travel, and you've got to hook up these, different locations to this main hub type thing, but so far only two are available this week. Two will become available next week, I assume. And more of the story. In fact, I played part one of a story, and part two is locked behind, I guess, something that'll happen next week. Whenever they decide to give it to us, we'll be when we get to play it. But I log every week, or not every week, every day up to Tuesday. So starting with, I want to say it was Wednesday of last week. When I say last week, I mean the one before this one that just passed. But starting with that Wednesday, all the way up until Monday or Tuesday, they released pieces of lore. And it was, you know, just something you could go to their website and read. And it was giving you just backstory of things. And it was interesting. Normally, I don't necessarily pay too much attention to the lore in Destiny 2. Mainly because it confused me at first. Back in Destiny 1, it got better with their second year expansion. King's Fall was the name of the raid, but it was called something else. Maybe it was King's Fall, but that got better story writing with it, and I started to pay a little bit more attention to the story. Then with D2, again, the story kind of fell off. I really didn't care about the Red War and things that were going on. I was like, okay, they exploded the tower where I used to live. Now I got to get all my stuff back. Blah, blah, blah. Didn't care. Forsaken released. Oh, good. I'm into the story again. So as you can see, apparently the first year I don't care. The second year gets better. The third year drops off. But that hasn't happened with Destiny 2. The first year didn't care. The second year, good. Some story. I enjoyed this. The third year, which is what we're into right now, Shadowkeep. Good story, because they're really advancing the story this time. It doesn't feel like they're making incremental steps into the story. So, but anyway, I paid attention to some lore that was dropping, and really enjoyed what I was reading here. And the first mission that you get from this new thing puts you into one of those stories that you read about, or at least that was told about. In other words, within the story that they were giving you building up to this release, it talked about people of the old city and legends of this warrior and the trials and tribulations that he faced and these big battles that he took part in and these great heroic feats that he accomplished and all these things. And it was all, and apparently that was all whispered about through the city. It was all this sort of like legend has it that this is what happened. Well, the first story they give you puts you in one of those legends. And it started what is called, it's the reason that the name of the gun that we have is called Perfect Paradox, because this guardian, who currently is dead, we travel back in time. Not to his death, but to just one of the moments in his timeline where we give him a gun. a shotgun called the Perfect Paradox. The odd thing is that back in year one of Destiny 2, a year ago, more than a year ago, actually, I want to say it was in February of not this past year, but 2018, we found his tomb. There was a mission that you could do where you found his tomb and he was laying there, and that's where you got the gun. Then when you go back into this timeline, you give him that gun. And so it's sort of a chicken egg came first type situation. It's a paradox as far as timelines. I love time travel stuff. I'll watch anything and read up anything on like time travel, things like that, to really, really confuse me. Cause it's very interesting to me, but it can be very, very, if it's done well, it works. When it's done wrong, it's confusing. I can't say that it doesn't work. It just can be confusing. Although in a lot of cases, I can't tell if I'm just not catching the idea of what they're trying to explain. And maybe that's why it's confusing to me. So I kind of like the more complicated stuff. It feels like a puzzle, and I love puzzles. And it feels like a puzzle that I have to figure out, or that I try to unravel. And I enjoy doing that. So anyway, love stuff about time travel. Love the fact that we got to go to this place, give him his gun that we will later in our lives take from him again, only to, I guess in the timeline, give it back to him again. Just this time loop. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed that. Anyway, like I said, it's time-gated stuff. Everybody's reset back to like some lower level things. They've only increased the levels by 10. Whereas before we went from, what did we go from? I don't remember what we started with that got me to where I was going. 750. That's what it was. We started at seven. Okay. When this year began, and this year being, October, when season three or year three started for Destiny 2, we started at 750, and I worked my way up in the span of like 10 weeks to 960, almost 959. Well, now you're going from the most you can get is 970 now, so that's even less. So, you know, I'll make it there, no problem. But there's still stuff to grind. This thing ends in March. There's still plenty of time to do it. And basically, I'm just going to kind of leave it at that. There's a nice little six-man event that you can be involved with where it's all matchmaking, so you can just, you know, you just queue it up solo, go play it with five other people. It has no fail states, so everybody wins at the end. But you try and make it work. You try and find a good team You hope that you get paired with a good team. Who knows what the mechanics of the fights are. Some do, some don't. But for the most part, it's actually gone quite well. But yeah, that's basically what I'm doing. I can't speak for Random, who is one of my clanmates, one of my teammates. That guy went on a grind. I mean, just right out of the gate. He went on a massive, massive grind. I guess he had the time off, and that's just what he was going to do. So more power to him to do that. But I'm enjoying it. It's time travel. I like that stuff. And I'm hoping, I think this is their first dip into time travel, Bungie, as far as Destiny is concerned. I don't know if Halo did it. I want to say it did, but I can't remember. But I want to say this is Bungie's first little, it's Destiny's first little step into time travel. It was sort of there when we did this whole thing back in February that I was talking about, where we gave him the gun and everything. It was sort of there with a little bit of time travel, but it wasn't, you weren't really involved. There was this whole Infinite Forest thing, and you were going into past, present, future of the planet Mercury, but you really didn't have, you were an outlier. You didn't really have any effect of what was going on. Whereas this one's kind of putting you in there. You are traveling through the time, the timeline, and seeing these other events of this guy's life. So I'm hoping they'll put more into that than just to finish it with next week. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think there's a lot in the tank for them for doing this. They're an independent studio now. They have no more backing. It is just them. They don't have any other studios helping them and working on this stuff. It is just them. So do I think we're going to get something lengthy? Do I think we're going to get something that is, you know, packed with story and not just some reused mechanic over and over again? Or, I mean, already they're reusing assets from a previous place that we've already been to. They're not really giving us anything new. Just what they are giving us new is extremely minuscule. I shouldn't expect more from them, and I don't. I mean, again, small studio going on their own and doing this. Basically, the way to really judge this is, does it keep me there? Does it keep me playing? Does it keep me coming back to do this? For me, it does. Am I satisfied while I'm doing it? Yeah, for the most part, I am. I feel like it's come to a sudden, like, it's started to a crawl, like, for the past, I don't know, month, I guess, being where I was previous before the reset happened with the new season and everything, it felt like things were moving at a great pace. I was just getting things done. Things were happening. New stuff was dropping all the time. And now it feels like, whoa, we've slowed that down a little bit. It'll get back up there again, but because everything reset again, it's kind of slowed it down a little bit. So anyway, that's my own opinion of it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will not talk about this anymore with Destiny. We're going to go straight into the Game Awards. Normally we wouldn't. Normally we'd talk about that, you know, later, probably hit up some of the trailers that they showed off. But when you show off a next gen console at your video game awards show, well, then we're going to jump right into that. The next Xbox was officially revealed on Thursday night, and we'll talk about that when we come back. We are running a theme this week. It was interesting that I was able to find a theme, but we do have a theme in the music this week. All these games that you will hear as we go in and out of commercials, they all have a theme to them. They all have a connection. There is something, there's a common thread between them. You will have heard some of these tracks before, or at least you will have heard some of these games before. I think I played music from almost all of them. But, so yeah, we'll just get right into it. And at the end of the show, I'll tell you what the connection was. If you can't already figure it out, you might. I probably didn't make it too hard. Anyway, this first one is called, the first game we're going to hear music from is called Dust, an Elysian Tale. And I want to, God, the sorrowing, I can't read the rest of it. It's cut off. So I don't exactly know what it was called, but the sorrowing something. Anyway, we'll be back with more in-game chat, just myself, when we come back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Sounds like something. Sounds like the Cars. This is from a game called Iconoclasts. Track is called Nuts and Bolts. I don't know a thing about that game. Anything at all. Basically, I did a search for what I wanted my theme to be, and these games came up, and that's what I'm using. Plus, I've never used this game before, so I thought, sure, use it. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We're going to talk about the Game Awards. Happened on Thursday. There's a lot of stuff that happened this week. I mean, Sony had their State of Play that took place, which has all but been forgotten. I can't even, off the top of my head, I can't even think of what they even showed off. So, good job. I think that would have been the case probably regardless of the Game Award. I mean, it probably would have been regardless of what was announced at the Game Awards. I think I would have easily forgotten what Sony had to say after all of, I don't know how many things they revealed and how many things they had trailers for the Game Awards. It was a lot. We're going to try and go over all of them. We'll eventually, you know, we'll hit some of the high points on the winners and stuff for the Game Awards. Again, didn't put a whole lot of stock into the awards themselves. I really didn't. I've had opinions about the Game Awards for, I guess, every year they've been doing them. Not just this iteration, but back when they were on Spike and everything else. They really never could get it right. And I guess I just don't care about my opinion anymore. It's never going to change. I'm asking for something I don't think can be done because of everything that is involved with putting on a show like that. And the fact that I don't know of everything that's involved in putting on a show like that. So, well, let's get right to it. The big announcements at the Game Awards, the first thing, like they were teasing and talking, you know, here's a trailer for some DLC, here's this. And then the awards started proper, and the very first thing that they show off is Microsoft's new console. And we knew it was coming. We knew Microsoft has said, yes, next year we're going to have a new console on the market. They had talked about it at this year's E3. I think they talked about it at last year's E3. And they talked about it again at this year's E3, telling us more about it with it being called Project Scarlet. And, you know, wondering, okay. And then in between the E3 and now, they had said, yeah, that's, you know, it's coming holiday of next year, 2020. Okay, going to wait until E3 again before we probably find out more information. I don't know why. I think you can control this stuff. You know, today the reach of the internet allows you to control when you want to reveal things. Nintendo's been doing it for a good while now, and Sony has started doing it as well. And that's fine with me. Why wait until E3 before you have to know this stuff? You do it at your own pace. You really take control of something. This is the most talked about thing that came out of the Game Awards was Microsoft unveiling a new console, mainly because the thing does not look like what anybody expected it to look like, which, you know, kudos to them for keeping it under wraps. We've seen what the PS5 dev kits look like. And so we kind of think we have an idea of what the PS5 is going to look like. Some weird looking futuristic V thing. It's probably not going to look like that, but who knows? We don't know. Look what Microsoft gave us. Basically a tower. Some black monolith that they have debuted. It is, and they debuted a name along with it. The Xbox Series X. Microsoft, stick to a naming convention. Stick with it. Stop this. You realize, I mean, you tried to do this with Windows and it didn't work. That's why you got Windows 10 now. That's why you had Windows Vista and then 7, and then you went to 8, you skipped 9, and went to 10. You know, I'm just, you know, stop. Xbox 360. Well, that's weird. Why 360? Oh, well, because PlayStation 3 was coming out, and we wanted ours to be, wanted ours to have a 3 in it as well, but we couldn't call it Xbox 3 because there was no 2. All right, fine. What's your next one going to be called? Xbox One. Stop it. Why? Xbox One after 3? Oh, yeah. And then we're going to revamp that console. What are you going to call it after? Xbox One X. Okay. All right. I should expect this, honestly. I shouldn't... I really shouldn't be surprised by this. So, yeah, the Xbox Series X is what we have now. It is a tower thing. I mean, this is radio, so to try and describe this is a little tough. But it is a rectangle, a cubed rectangle, sitting on its end, basically. And it looks like at the top, it's a little concave, maybe, with a green light. I'm guessing those are vents. From what I understand, it could be stood up or it could be laid down. It's really strange, though. Like, how is it laid? Which side can you lay it down? Can it be any side? I don't know. Like, what is the orientation of the discs that go in? When it's standing up, does the top of the disc face, I don't know. No, the top of the disc has to face the lower side, because then you would have all the stuff on the other end that would be able to read the disc, right? I'm looking at it now, and I'm kind of trying to go over it in my head while I look at it. So if you were to lay this down in the way that I would think you would lay it down, which is logo closest to the surface of wherever you're laying it down, and the disk drive closest to the surface, I would think you'd be putting disks in upside down if you laid it down like that. So it kind of needs to lay down in a different direction with the disk drive closer to the top and the logo closer to the top as well if you wanted to lay that down. I don't know. What if you wanted to lay it down on the other side? I don't even know what the back of the thing looks like, or which side is the back of it, where all the stuff plugs into. I don't know. We haven't seen the back of the machine yet. We've only seen what they've allowed us to see. It looks about the width, if you kind of want to go with this, it looks about the width of an Xbox controller. So take an Xbox controller in your hand. It's about that wide. If you want to go with height, take an Xbox controller again, stand it up, and then put 2.5. 3 of them on top of each other. That's about how high it is. If you're standing it up. So, yeah. Let me read through some of the comments that I'm getting on the stream chat, because I have not done that yet. Sony did a state of play. Jeff Keighley is a nuisance. I don't know why Xbox and PlayStation play along with his garbage. Phil Spencer says he already has it at his house and it's his main console. It looks to be Xbox controller wide and 3 controllers high. Yeah, exactly what I just went through. Someone did some math and figured it's slightly smaller than a PS4 Pro. Yeah, with the dimensions that they give you, if you take an Xbox controller and then, you can work with that to give you an idea of the width and the height, and then come up with all... Once you get those numbers, you can come up with all sorts of things. As far as, how to make it... how to get an idea of what this thing is, the size and that sort of thing. What we didn't get was any kind of idea of what's in it. What we didn't get was any kind of idea of when specifically it'll be released, just holiday. What we didn't get is any kind of idea of what it will cost. We did get a look at a game that will be launching for that system from Ninja Theory, which is owned by Microsoft anyway. Of course, Microsoft is going to have... What did he say? What did Phil Spencer said something? And I really wish I could go back to that. Phil Spencer from Microsoft came out on stage, talked about it, and he said something to the effect of, it is the most advanced, the beefiest, most advanced, most whatever. It's the best Xbox that we've ever made. Well, of course it is. It's your next one. What are you going to come out and say? Well, it's the Xbox Series X. It's our brand new console. Slightly just under the performance of the Xbox One, but it's our new, of course. I just, that was such a PR thing to say. It's our best one yet. Okay. Nobody's going to, really? You're going to come out and say something different than that? It's the PS5. PS3 was just a little bit better than this, but it's the PS5. I don't know. But yeah, so but he still didn't give us any idea of, I posted something about it saying that, hey, different is good. I'm all for different. But that's the thing. I've never cared about what these machines look like. I've never cared about what Xbox's system looks like, the Switch, anything Nintendo does. I've never cared. Although I will say the Switch is probably one of the more interesting ways of doing a console, kind of combining that portability thing with a docking thing so we can go on TV, that sort of stuff. That's interesting to me. But I've never really cared what these machines look like. They sit on a shelf that is mostly in the dark anyway. They're always usually black, so I can't really see them from where I'm sitting. It's not a conversation piece when somebody comes in and says, oh, wow, look at that piece of technology that you have over there. For one, I don't bring people in. And two, it just doesn't happen. Nobody cares. No one cares. It gets people talking, though. I will say that. You do these things for the reaction that they'll have. And this is the reaction that they got, which is, you know, ooh, look, it sits up on its whatever. They all have. PlayStation sat up on its end. The Wii sat up on its end, or laid flat if you wanted to. The GameCube, I guess you could have put it on any number of sides, but it basically had one orientation. The Xbox had one orientation. The Xbox 360 had two orientations. The Xbox One basically had one orientation. You could stand that up if you wanted to. I don't know a lot of people that did. I don't know a lot of, and the PlayStation 4, and that's interesting. Yeah, the PlayStation 3, you could do, it could sit up or it could lay down. The PlayStation 4, that was a pretty one orientation. That was it. They didn't really, I don't know of a lot of people that stood theirs up. It may have been able to, but I don't know that. The PlayStation 4, not that way either. So anyway, going back to this, sit it down, stand it up, I don't care. I just want to know what's inside of it. That's all that I care about. I've never cared about what a machine looks like. Yes, it's something neat to talk about. I don't care. I want to know what's inside of it. What makes it a better Xbox than all of your other Xboxes? Stupid statement. And then I want to know what's inside your PS5, and I want to compare those. That's what I want to do. It's the paper stuff. It's the numbers that I want to look at. It's the products inside of it that I want to know what those are. And I'm not too curious about brands. I understand that, you know, you go with the lowest bidder, basically, but I don't really care. I just want to know what those things inside of it can do. And then I want to compare them and go from there to know exactly what I'm getting. I mean, they did say, yeah, out of the box, of course, 4K, 60 frames per second. I think it went higher than that. But you know, it's not going to, okay, it's not going to be anything less than what they've already got out there. The Xbox One X right now is probably the most powerful system on the market currently. If you want to talk about home console gaming, does it beat out the PlayStation Pro? Yes, it does. On paper, by numbers, that sort of thing. Yeah, it beats it out. In everything that I can see, if you look at any kind of game comparison, go to Digital Foundry's YouTube page, look up their console gaming stuff, you will find that the Xbox One X beats out any type of comparison with the PlayStation 4 Pro. So, any kind of bullet points that they gave us, is not too far off than what they've already got out there. It talked about an SSD drive, which I don't believe is currently in any of those systems that I know of. I know I put one inside of my PlayStation 4 Pro, and I've got one, I think, attached to my Xbox One X as well. So, but yeah, I want to know what's in it. I want some numbers. I want what is your graphics processor that you're using? What's the CPU that you're using? How much space is on it? How much space are you going to give us? You've already moved into this kind of all digital future. You've already moved into. We already know now that when we put a disc into your system, into your current best Xbox that you have, we know that it basically gives it license to download it. I don't necessarily know that it pulls anything off the disc. I'm sure it does, but more than anything, it gives license to download the game content and store it on the hard drive. The disc allows you to play that game, but it does not read from the disc. You put that in, and it says, "Okay, they own this game. Let's play it from this hard drive where we've downloaded it." So what are you going to do? You going to give us a bigger hard drive space? You going to switch? I don't know. I don't know what they're. I'd like to know more stuff. Does it have HDMI 2.0, which is supposed to be a big thing next year? I would imagine that it does. If it doesn't, that'll be interesting. No one really will care. But if it doesn't, like, that's the standard for next year. That's where a lot of things are moving into as far as, like, when they ship them, HDMI 2.0. So I'll be interesting to know if it does that or not. Let me read some of the comments here. Someone did the math. Four times more than the 1X in power, which is pretty good. Okay, so there's some numbers. Okay, that's good to know. There was one thing in the Sony State of Play that is good news for Xbox. MLB The Show is coming to Xbox no later than 2021. Yeah, we'll get to that because Sony no longer apparently has a stranglehold on The Show. I think they will still continue to make it, and we're getting a call here right before the top of the hour. I think they'll continue to make it, but now it's apparently going to be a cross-platform type thing, a multi-platform release. Red Chaos says I'll wait a year to make sure console has issues ironed out. Probably day one for me, says Thar66. Can't resist. Lethal Migraine says having a baby in August, so I'll probably have to wait two. Thar says hopefully GameStops are still open and I can get like $250 for my 1X in exchange. Yeah, that's something else we know is that this Xbox Series X will be backwards compatible beyond just the 1X. It'll reach back into the 360 and even in back to the Xbox original. Your controllers currently for your 1X and for everything else will work with this new system, even though it comes with a controller when you buy it. But they're really working on kind of making it something that advances but doesn't hold you back necessarily on anything. AC Wraith says, I already have a PC. Yep. Multile says, the Switch holder looks like it should face forward, but down one side of the holder you have two USB ports and the LED, which is nice. Phil said it can go 8K and 120 frames per second if optimized. Okay. Thar says it'll be $700 Canadian with tax, and apparently you'll be able to suspend and resume multiple games at once, says Lethal Migraine. Yeah, I haven't really read up on everything they've said. I just know they haven't really given full details on this thing yet. And of course they're not going to. We won't see this till holiday of next year. E3 will probably be where we hear about a release date and a price. Price is going to be a big issue. Price was something that kicked them with the Xbox One release. I know somebody's calling here. I'm going to take the call here in just a second. I've got you on, but I don't have you on the air just yet. Price is going to be a big deal. When the Xbox One released, along with the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4, you know, undercut the Xbox One. Xbox One was $5. The PlayStation 4 was PlayStation 4, I think, was $350, $400. And that was a big deal. And then they dropped the support for the Kinect that came with every single one of these Xbox Ones and brought the price down another $100. And eventually just got rid of the Kinect altogether. So price is a big deal. They understand that They understand $500 does not work. $500 does not work. Depending on, you know, and again, we're going to come to this point where Sony will have a press conference after Microsoft. Microsoft will let their cat out of the bag, and then Sony has time to make a call and maybe change some stuff up if they want to. But it'll be interesting to see. Hi, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's me again.
Hey, Chris, what's up?
Yeah, I was agreeing with you, you know, the same talk about the systems and everything. I don't care what the darn thing looks like, you know, like you. I want to know what's in it and what the games look like, you know. I don't care if it looks like a polished turd.
Well,
Since when's the last time
there is, you know, there is a terminology of something with bricks, and this is what that looks like. But yes, again, I'm in the same boat that I don't care what your system looks like. It's fun to talk about. It gets people talking about it. Look at this thing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I just want to know what's inside of it. I want to know what's inside of it, powering your games and making it do what it's going to do. I want to know all those tech specs. That's when I research anything at all, let me tell you, when I research any kind of big purchase that I'm making, if it's a TV, if it's a PC, if it's anything, I don't care what your thing looks like. I did have, okay, so let's go back to my fridge, the fridge that I just bought. Completely not game related, very, very little, not really a tech thing, not really a gadget thing down my alley. It's not a TV, it's not an iPad, it's not anything like that. It's a refrigerator. What was I looking for? Well, I was looking at your price. And then I was looking at your space. I had certain things about it that, you know, it's got to fit in the space that I need it to fit. And also the space, it can't have, you know, it can't have a certain way the doors would work. It couldn't have, it needed to be a certain way for it to go into the space that it was going. That doesn't really actually prove my point. That's more about how the thing looks than anything else. But I also was looking for, you know, I just needed a fridge. I don't really care. So that doesn't really prove my point. I shouldn't have gone that way with it.
And then get the biggest and best that you can for the lowest price, basically.
I did look at that. I mean, I looked at the cubic feet of the space inside of it and what it could hold, trying to find the most there, but at the same price that I was paying, but also fitting my requirements of the size that I needed at a very limited space of where it was going between counter and wall. Where the other one was. I had a very limited space as far as the doorway of getting it in there. It's an old house. I was looking more at sizes, and also it couldn't be a French door thing, and it couldn't be a side-by-side thing. It needed to be a bottom or top freezer and one single door. So that's how I, and also a size restraint. So that's how I started whittling things down. But when I look for a TV, pretty much any other kind of technical stuff that I'm going to enjoy that's going to entertain me, I'm looking at how well it does what it's supposed to do, not how good it looks on my wall.
Yeah.
You know, or in my home or anything like that. Just does it do something well? It could look horrendous. But if it does, if it's the best thing of its kind, and it looks horrendous, I don't care. I don't care what it looks like.
Yeah, it's like people complain that they don't like the look of the Virtual Boy. that one at the Nintendo, the one that the red 3D one that it flopped, you know, like.
Yeah,
you're not going to be looking at it when you're playing it. You're going to be looking at the game, or you're going to be looking.
Yeah, you're going to be looking inside the thing. You're not actually going to be looking at it. But for me in technology, it's a lot like what people want to say about dating. It's what's on the inside that counts, and not what's on the outside. But yeah, so I looked at that and I said, okay, fine. Give me a price and tell me what's in it.
Yep.
I don't even care about your release date. Give me a price and tell me what's in it. That's what I want to know. So,
and like you said about the dating and everything, the outsides can change. So for better or worse, you know, like you said, you know, it's what's on the inside that really counts, like to me as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, I mostly do the PC stuff, the PC gaming and that sort of thing. And Microsoft, to their credit, is doing a lot more of, if it's on our Xbox, you can also play it on on Windows, that sort of thing. They're doing a lot more of that, and I only expect that to be more and more the case as we move into the future of things. Is that if it's a Microsoft published game and developed game, it will also be available on your PC. That they will be able to make that happen. So sometimes it doesn't even matter what's on the inside. It's what your PC can do, because that's probably where you'll be playing the game. So, Chris, we're at the top of the hour. Actually, we're beyond the top of the hour, so I got to run.
All right, we'll see you later then.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. When we come back, we will talk. We may be done with this. We may jump over to the show stuff that we were talking about, MLB The Show. We'll probably go over some of the other games that were announced as well. There was a lot, and there was one that was announced that honestly came out of nowhere and redeemed everything for me. And I'll tell you about that coming up. But right now we've got a track from a game that was announced, I believe, at Nintendo had an indie showcase this week. Again, a lot of stuff this week. The Game Awards, the State of Play for Sony, the Nintendo Indie Expo thing, where a ton of games were announced. But the sequel to this game, and it's a great, great game, actually, Axiom Verge, got announced, and it'll be on the Switch, Axiom Verge 2. But I don't have music from that. I have music from the first one, which is a game that I've loved. It's very much a Metroid. I don't even want to call it a Metroidvania thing, because it is so much more Metroid than it is Castlevania. It's like a love letter to Metroid. So it's a fantastic game, though. And it's got a great, great soundtrack. This is from Axiom Verge. It's called Trace Reborn. And we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music there from a game called Cave Story. Track name is called Gestation. Exactly what you think it sounds like. Remember, there's a theme in all of these. There's a connection between all of these games that I'll tell you about at the end of the show. All right, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. I think I could have gone even longer talking about that Xbox thing. But eventually you just start going in circles because you got really nothing to work with, you know, after you get all that other stuff out of the way. I did get some information from Lethal Migraine, I think. Series X will have a NVMe SSD and GDDR6 memory. So that doesn't tell me the size of the SSD that they're going to give us. Probably a terabyte. You have to go a terabyte at these days. Man, you used to couldn't even get that. I think the Xbox One launched with a 500 gig hard drive in it. CPU. Okay, shoot me a link. Throw a link up into the chat room, because now the CPU is an AMD Ryzen 2. But that's the brand. I mean, all are Ryzen, or the Ryzens. I'm not familiar too much with AMD. But Ryzen 2. See, there's different ways. So that doesn't tell me. That doesn't tell me what the processing power is. I think it puts it into a window, but it doesn't tell. Why is it wanting to take me to Twitter? Yeah, 12 teraflops on the GPU. Also AMD based. They've always gone with AMD, haven't they? For a good while now, they've been paired up with AMD, I believe. I think most of the consoles actually have. I'm curious about that. We'll get something. We'll probably get a lot more information, obviously. I say around E3, but it could be sooner than that. I mean, again, these companies should know that they can control when they want the information out of there. It doesn't always have to be at E3. You can, in fact, the better thing to do is get the information out of there so you can focus on other stuff at E3. I don't know. We'll see what they decide to do. Phone call coming in now. Let's go back to it. Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
Hey, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt. What you doing? Are you off?
No, I'm on working tonight, so I'm going to go grab some food.
Oh, okay. All right. What's going on?
So, MechWarrior 5 came out this week.
Okay.
Guess who's not playing it right now?
Well, yeah, of course. You're not.
Yeah, but the reason, man, they botched the joystick support.
How did they do that? I mean, is it just not work, or did they not support it, or did they screw it up in the way that they did support it?
It's like very few, from what I've been reading, Kevin's been helping with this, very few joysticks in HOTAS are natively supported, where if you want to, like my Thrustmaster, it's not even recognizing it at all. So in order to get it to somewhat work, I'll have to like go in and edit INI files just to get the joystick working. And I was just so frustrated that, you know, it's 2019 and, you know, they want me to edit INI files to, you know, have a joystick on a big mech game. So I'm just, you know, slowly coming to the realization that I'll be playing MechWarrior 5 with a mouse and keyboard, and that's not how I want to play a mech game at all.
I don't have any experience, so I would probably start out with a Mac or with a mouse and keyboard if I were playing. But yeah. But you, have you played it at all yet?
No.
Okay.
I have not. I got so frustrated. I just quit the game and loaded up Red Dead 2 instead.
Yeah, I saw you playing Arma. I think with Matt the other, or not Matt, with yeah. Kevin the other day.
Yeah, Kevin and I played a round of Arma. Had some time and everything. So,
well, let me.
How's the show going?
Show's going so fine so far. Well, I say that. it's more about who's listening to it, how it's going for them than it is for me. It's going fine.
Yeah.
1 hour down, 1 hour to go. What I was going to ask you was, are you going to be with us next week?
As of right now, I think we're scheduled to work basically until the end of the year.
Gotcha.
On the weekend.
All right.
If it changes, I will definitely let you know.
Yeah, please do. Please do. All right, man. Well, take care.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. 334-272-9228. I remember Matt saying that, yeah, he's pretty much scheduled to work for like the next three weekends, and he won't be able to make the show. RJ will be back next week, though. And maybe we'll get Nate back as well. So yeah, they showed off a launch title for the Xbox One Series X. I already don't like that name because I almost called it the Xbox One X. Which, well, wait, that name's already taken. I bet they hate that fact too. I bet they hate the fact that they already used Xbox One X because that would have been that's again. Here I am getting off on things that would have fit with. Like a naming convention. Oh, it's the Xbox One. Now it's the Xbox One X. That's perfect. Yeah. Just add an X on the end of it, and you've got a brand new console. Would have been fine. But that's not the case. Anyway, Series X, it is the it's Senua's Saga Hellblade 2. Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, I think, is what the first one's called. And so now they're making a sequel for that. Yeah, they never stick with their project names, though. As far as I know, they usually don't stay with the project name. Lethal Migraine said they could have just kept calling it Scarlet, but yeah. I mean, I'll give Sony this, man. Just calling him PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sure. You don't need creativity. Especially when you can, you know, you can abbreviate everything and call it the PS3, the PS4, the PS5. You know, works a little bit better. In fact, we saw at least a reveal for a game that will be launching with the PlayStation 5 called Godfall from Gearbox Studios. Don't know anything about it. It says a reveal trailer, but it really isn't. Understand when they do a reveal trailer or do a reveal of some type, especially for a new console, you're never going to see gameplay. Not this far out. You're just not going to see any gameplay, so you don't know what it looks like. You rarely see any kind of idea of story or anything like that. I couldn't get anything from Hellblade 2. I haven't played Hellblade 1 to know exactly what was happening there, so maybe if you played Hellblade 1, you would know a little bit about what's being told since it is a sequel. Godfall is a completely new IP, completely original. I have nothing to compare it to. I have no way to tell you what it is or what it does. Is it. Just go to YouTube and Google Godfall and then watch it and see what it is. I have no idea. Bravely Default 2 was announced, which is from Square Enix. I'm sure a lot of people were excited about that. I am not a Bravely Default person, but I hear good things, and that was the sequel, and so, yep, keep it coming. The co-creators of Prey and Dishonored, which I thought was Avalanche Studios? Am I right? No, Arcane. Arcane Studios. But apparently is not. it is. They came up with a game called Weird West. The YouTube description says, each journey is unique and tailored to the actions taken, a series of high-stakes stories where everything counts and the world reacts to the choices you make. Form a posse or venture forth alone into an otherworldly confines of the Weird West and make each legend your own. See how that works out. We saw two games from Riot, all in the League of Legends universe. Ruined King, a League of Legends story, and there was another one as well, Convergence. That was also announced. I was intrigued by them, but I don't know League of Legends enough. So, League of Legends is a very multiplayer type of game. I say multiplayer is kind of like PvP type stuff. It's, I don't know. It's, I've never really played it because the point of actually what it is and what you have to do is very confusing to me. So it's hard for me to even watch it, much less play it. It's like a Dota or a MOBA, and even those terms I hate. So when they announced that they were going to do some single-player stuff, some story-driven single-player stuff, I thought, that's fantastic, good, this is something I can get into. Well, it's set within their League of Legends universe. So I imagine if you played League of Legends and you jump into this thing, then you're going to be okay. They'll explain some stuff, but you'll be okay. If you've never once touched a League of Legends game, I'm curious as to how they're going to bring you up to speed. I don't know the lore of League of Legends. I don't know if it's tough to explain. I have no idea. But is there going to be a lot of reading for me to do that's going to scroll past to, like, the story so far is this? Or, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious as to how they're going to handle that to somebody who has never once played a League of Legends game but is going to play their little single-player spinoffs. Spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance was, well, Dark Alliance. That's what was shown off. Player Unknown sort of talked about a game. It's Prologue. That's the next game after PUBG is Prologue. Is it like PUBG, which is basically a, you know, a battle royale type of situation? I don't know. We saw no gameplay. We have no idea what it does, what it is. Nothing. Which I honestly hate. Like, especially this trailer. It just showed a scene in the woods, and then Prologue came up on the screen. That's it. Okay. You could have press released that with a picture and still gotten your point across. But you made a trailer that still tells us literally tells us nothing. A name, Prologue. I don't even know if that's the name of the game. I just want to say, just tell us, give us more than that. You have an audience of God knows how many hundreds of thousands of people watching. Give us more. Don't be afraid to give us more. Giving us a... Nobody... Honestly, you've got... You're battling Microsoft revealing their console at the Game Awards. So to come away with having people talk about your trailer is going to be tough. But if we remove... If we remove the PS5 video game trailer, if we remove the Xbox One or Series X trailer and the games that go with it, if we just focus on the games that were announced, I still would not be coming away talking to you about Prologue, because it gave us nothing. Oh, man. Let me tell you what I would come away talking about. The Fast and Furious Crossroads trailer. So at the end, I think they're coming out to reveal Game of the Year, and I have no idea why Jeff does this, but okay, fine. Jeff Keighley is the guy behind the whole Video Game Awards, and I think he is fascinated with celebrity. Not that necessarily he wants to be one, but that he has friends who are, maybe? I'm not sure. We all know about his love affair. I'm speaking metaphorically, but seriously, the dude loves Hideo Kojima. But I don't understand the pull of Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez. When they had said Michelle Rodriguez, I was like, what is she pushing? Has she got a movie out or something? I have no idea. Why is she coming out here, and what is she doing? And then Vin Diesel showed up, and I said, why? There's no Fast and the Furious that I know of coming out. But yet they talked about one. But then they revealed a game trailer, and of course that's why it was tied into it. But Fast and Furious Crossroads, which looked like crap. The more I saw this thing, the more I started to wonder if it was a mobile game. That's how bad it looked. It looked horrific. I love racing games. I love arcade racers. I love driving my cars. This looked like a game I didn't want to touch. Vin's a huge video game nerd. That's perfectly fine. Then have him come out instead of Michelle. But having them both, whatever, I don't care. They were there to reveal their game and show off their game trailer for Fast and Furious Crossroads. It looked horrible. This looked like utter, just... looked like beyond last gen. Like it could be backwards compatible on the Xbox One. It just looked horrendous. And it didn't look like something you should be proud of, or that should have I don't even want to say prestige, but you know what I'm saying? The pull to be revealed during the Game Awards. That's all I'm saying on that. What else? We got new release dates for Ori and Will of the Wisp that got pushed back to March. Control, the Foundation expansion, was a March release, which I think is the first expansion for that game, which I picked up over Black Friday and really need to play it. Gears Tactics, April the 28th. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know. It's a nice little isometric type turn-based, you know, Gears game. I don't know. I've never really thought of, I've never really looked at a Gears game and thought this would probably work as a isometric turn-based thing. You know, Halo, it worked for Halo Wars, so maybe for Gears Tactics. Who knows? Lethal Migraine says, see, the gamer me says, yeah, everyone thought it was a mobile game. Lethal Migraine says, I'll have to look this game up. I was long asleep by then. The Game Awards are boring. Yeah, Halo Wars worked, and so maybe Gears Tactics could work. PS4 exclusive Ghosts of Tsushima is slated for summer of 2020. That is a Sucker Punch game, and I am interested in it. Sort of. Trailers didn't give me much, because I don't think it gave me gameplay at all, but, you know, still interested to maybe finally see some gameplay for that. Final Fantasy VII Remake got another trailer. Good job. Enjoy. I did not play the first Final Fantasy VII. I tried. Final Fantasy just ain't something that is in my wheelhouse. It never will be. So, yeah. I know a lot of people are excited about it, and I'm glad it's around for you. Humankind. Another trailer was shown off for that with some gameplay. This just feels like something that's trying to give competition to Civilization games. I'm fine with that. You go right ahead. But that's something that's going to be hard to do. Civilization pretty much created that genre of what it is. And I'm trying to think of what that actually could be right now. But we'll see what Humankind is going to try and do. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 Rise of the Phoenix expansion was shown off. Magic Legends, which I think is something that's set into the world of the Magic the card game stuff. Maneater was shown off. This is where you play a shark that basically a great white shark that goes around and eats people. Naraka Blade Point. I must have missed that one. I don't know what that is. A game called 9 to 5. Looks like a shooter of some type. 3 versus 3, maybe? Or 9 versus 5. I have no idea. No More Heroes 3 was also shown off. A lot of people talking about that because of the No More Heroes universe. Apex Legends, Hollow Day Bash. I will say this. Roger Craig Smith, a voice actor, posted something on his Twitter account saying, hey, we've got something in the works for you. Tune in to the Game Awards tonight. And I'm thinking Roger Craig Smith. In fact, a lot of people. If you look at the tweet where he teases this, nothing but the replies are pictures of Batman. Batman, 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 Batman. He voiced Batman in Batman Arkham Origins, which was made by WB Montreal. And we know that Rocksteady's working on a new Batman game, and we haven't gotten any kind of word about what's going on. In fact, I think WB Montreal may be working on another Batman game as well. I think they teased Court of Owls or something. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff there, and we're just thinking that's what it is. Nope, it was the Apex Legends Hollow Day Bash. The interaction, and it was interesting to go back to his Twitter, because I did go back to his Twitter to see, to try and see all the salt from everybody who was disappointed with that. Didn't find too much of it, because he came back and he talked about how that whole interaction between the game character and Jeff was done live on the spot. That was pretty interesting. That was really, really cool to see that whole thing was done live. I don't really care about the content or what they were talking about, but the fact that they had a guy being mocapped right there on the spot and reacting in real time to somebody else in a conversation was pretty amazing to me. Sons of the Forest was a little scary game. I want to say, is that a sequel to The Forest? I never played The Forest. I have The Forest, but I never played The Forest. The whole like font and typeset and everything else, Sons of the Forest, looks like it was a sequel for that. More scary forest stuff. That's fine if you like it. Surgeon Simulator 2. All right. Surgeon Simulator was like this tongue-in-cheek game itself. Low visual type graphic stuff. It was, you know, it's like Goat Simulator, which I think is the same group. And somebody's been calling. I don't know how long they've been waiting to talk, but Sure. Then we're going to get to the game that redeemed everything for me after we take this call. Hey, who's this? You're on in-game chat.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
This is what now?
Did you call the radio station?
Yeah, I'm trying to get this ain't the right station.
What station were you trying to reach?
93.1.
This is the right station.
Okay, well, I want a Big Daddy to play.
We don't play music. It's a talk. Huh? It's a talk station.
Oh, I got the wrong phone.
Okay, you got the wrong number then. This is the reason we screen calls, because we would have found that out without me going to it. When we come back, we'll talk about the rest of the trailers. In fact, that is the last one that we'll talk about as well. So we'll talk about that. Here is music from a game that I enjoyed. There's not a sequel out, but there's the second game from the creator, and I haven't played it yet, but I've been told by everybody who has that I should. This is the main theme from a cute little game called Papers, Please. So when we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat right after this. Well, we are about to play music, so I'm sorry. We don't really take requests to play music, but, you know, unless it's video game stuff. Anyway, we'll be back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Yeah, Motel got it. This is Braid. The track is called Downstream. So we had Braid, Iconoclasts, Axiom Verge, Dust, and Elysian Tale. The one I just did, and I can't even remember what it was. Papers, Please was the other one. And we had another one that I'm not remembering. Cave Story was the other one. Coming up, we've got a track from Thomas Was Alone. So the theme between all of these, in keeping with the theme that I am here by myself, all of these games were developed by a single person. Not the same person, but all games were developed by one person. I don't think the music was done by them. I know, from what I understand, Jonathan Blow got a lot of the tracks from some licensing that he did or whatever. I don't think all the game developers are also musicians and did the music for these things either, but they were all developed by a single person. So that was the theme for this week. I do love the music from Braid, though. It's interesting. I love Braid. Really did. People called it pretentious. And I think Jonathan Blow is a little bit pretentious. Maybe a lot of bit pretentious, actually. But loved Braid. Loved it. Back to the Game Awards. I'm amazed that I've been pulling out an entire 1 hour and 30 minutes worth of content from this. But it does make me realize that if I've see what if I didn't have this, what would I have done today? What would I have talked about? I mean, I can sit there and talk about Destiny all day, but no one would care. Be that same woman calling up trying to get me to play a song so I could stop talking about this stuff. The other thing that sort of redeemed, so like I was disappointed with the fact that there was no Batman reveal at the Game Awards. But what took me completely off guard, what took me off guard, what surprised me, what made me basically redeem the whole thing was the announcement of Wolf Among Us 2. This is a Telltale series, which should tell you, number one, that I didn't think it was ever coming back because Telltale folded. They went under. They ceased to exist. But apparently, no, they are still somewhat around. But yeah, that's we got the Wolf Among Us 2 as an announcement. Fantastic. I don't know how many years it's been since we've had... I don't know when The Wolf Among Us was released, but it's been a long time since I finished that game, and it'll be great to go back to that setting. Of the Telltale games, that was my favorite of theirs that they did, was The Wolf Among Us. I loved, don't get me wrong, I really, really enjoyed The Walking Dead. I loved Season 1 of The Walking Dead. I didn't know Season 2 and then even Season 3. I'd never even played Season 3, but... But Wolf Among Us, fantastic. Hey, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
It's Crowdhead.
Hey, man.
I was listening to you earlier, and that nice lady that called and was requesting some music. It got me to thinking, there was a game that we loved back in the 90s. It was called Assault Rigs. And I sent you a link through your messenger on your Facebook page for In-Game Chat.
Uh-huh.
That there was it was good enough that somebody else recognized it. It's a clip, music clip from that game, and I think that Herbie Hancock somehow or another, whoever put that music script together for Assault Rigs, kind of put a little bit of that Herbie Hancock spin to it. So I sent that to you for you to listen to. It's really neat, and you know I enjoy your show, and I really that particular piece that you just played with the violin.
Yeah.
That was nice. I don't know the game, but I love stuff like
that. Yeah, the game is called Braid.
Braid.
Yeah, just like you would braid hair, Braid. Yeah. And in fact, I want to say the music comes from a lot of different artists, mm-hmm. but they all have that same sort of style to them.
Oh, and that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. You should, I don't
very,
know that you...
Very Gaelic, very Irish.
Yeah, you should check that out. If you liked that, you will love the entire soundtrack to Braid. It was wonderful.
Well, take a listen to your message.
I will.
I sent you. I think you might, want to use that as a clip in your show.
As far as I know, I've never used any music from Assault Rigs, so I totally will.
And the Herbie Hancock connection is what got me, because the first time I heard it, I thought... That sounds familiar.
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking through it to see if there was anything mentioned about that, but there's nothing in there on it as far as the music used or anything like that. But I'll take a listen to it as well, and I'll probably get the same vibe, but probably use it next week.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Assault Rigs. I'll check that out. That was a game from 1996, released on... PlayStation, and then a year later for the Sega Saturn in Japan. So those are the Game Awards as far as the announcements were concerned. Lethal Migraine says, as far as Wolf Among Us 2, a lot of the Telltale devs formed a new studio and be working on Wolf Among Us 2. Yeah, I can't remember what the name of the company is, but yeah, they bought all of Telltale. There was something today that was announced. Well, it wasn't really, it was weird. It went up and then it was taken down. But, of course, as you know, when things like this go on the internet, even if you take them down, once it's on the internet, it's there forever. People have to understand that. Pictures, everything else, once it's on the internet, it's there forever. Keep that in mind. Remember that. It cannot be removed once it's on the internet. A Telltale Batman Shadows Edition. Athlon Games and Telltale Games will release a Telltale Batman Shadows Edition. It adds a noir-style visual makeover and graphical upgrade to Batman the Telltale series. It includes the original base game and new DLC will be available for purchase on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Steam, Epic Game Store, Nintendo Switch for $30. If you already own the base game, you can pick up Shadows Mode as a standalone DLC for $5. News of the edition was announced in a press release, which was pulled soon. Earlier this year, Athlon Games and Telltale Games struck a new publishing agreement for five popular Telltale Games releases, including Batman 1 and 2 and Wolf Among Us. Okay, we're getting some info here. We're excited to be able to build and continue the legacy of iconic Telltale game franchise by launching Batman Shadows Edition today. Blah, blah, blah. This is just the beginning and a much more expansive plan to build in our catalog of Telltale Games titles, which we hope to discuss in further detail in the coming months. It was announced during the Game Awards, Wolf Among Us 2, another Telltale title, was back in active development. So there. That kind of shed some light on what I was curious about. Going over the winners of the Game Awards, might as well stick with it, right? Make it a whole Game Awards episode. It's fine. What do I want to hit before I get to Game of the Year? Beat Saber was the VR game of the year, I guess. I don't know. Which is fine. I don't know what else you would do with that. I know Green Day performed because apparently Green Day songs got added to Beat Saber. I thought you could play with your own songs. I think you could put your own songs in the game and it would work out, you know, the way to make them work. I don't remember, but that's what I thought would happen. Strategy game, Fire Emblem Three Houses, sports racing, score and music. Death Stranding was the winner there. Cadence of Hyrule was a nominee. Devil May Cry 5, Kingdom Hearts 3, and Sayonara Wild Hearts were all nominees, but Death Stranding won. Sure. Death Stranding, by the way, didn't do the sweep that I was expecting it would make, which I think is good. I think if it had, you would have had people maybe discrediting it for Keighley's involvement along with his love for Hideo Kojima and the fact that he's in the game. Might have been a problem, maybe some sort of, you know, conflict of interest, but no, that didn't happen. Role-playing game, Disco Elysium. I kind of want to play that. Performance was Mads Mikkelsen from Death Stranding. That's fine. I mean, Mads is an awesome actor. He's fantastic. I'm totally fine with him winning that. God, Hannibal is such a good show. Ongoing game, Fortnite. Won that one. Destiny 2 was up, but Fortnite won it. Fortnite, sure, yeah. They had that big Star Wars reveal today. I have not gone online to see, because I know that, you know, usually whatever that clip was should be up online somewhere for everybody to watch. Narrative. This is a good category. The fact that Control is nominated for this really makes me want to play that. A Plague Tale Innocence was nominated as well. Narrative being story, I really want to experience. Death Stranding, I have no desire. But A Plague Tale, Innocence, and Control, and then Disco Elysium, the winner, I would love to play those. Multiplayer game, Apex Legends, yep, that was always going to win. Don't care about mobile games. Independent game, Disco Elysium. They came away with a lot. Games for Impact. First off, Grease won, and I talked about this game last year. And it was fantastic. Just the aesthetic, the art style, I fell in love with everything about it. So the fact that it won, I am very grateful that it did. I'm glad it did. I am also glad for the fact that this was the one segment that I enjoyed out of all the others. And Lethal Migraine, you can hate this all you want. You probably don't. Or I don't exactly know how you feel about it. But the fact that they had the Muppets come out. Basically, I say the Muppets. It was Beaker and Dr. Honeydew that came out and did the presentation for Games for Impact, which is a little bit off point because Games for Impact is like a serious thing. It's like a very, you know, these things had an impact on, I don't want to say society or something like that. But if you look at past winners, Game for Impact, I want to say that that Dragon Cancer won, and that is not a game you would have the Muppets come out and do a skit for. before presenting the award to. So, you know, it, Untitled Goose Game is kind of the skit that they did with it, which is not a nominee for Games for Impact that I know of. So I'm not exactly sure what that whole point was. I still, anytime I can get Muppets, I'm happy. So I'm glad I got them, and then I'm glad Grease won. Game direction, Death Stranding, of course. Fresh indie game. Why is that not called? Okay, so, oh, never mind. It's the fresh indie game because it was sponsored by Subway. That's why. There's the independent game category, in which Disco Elysium won. Then there's the fresh indie game. I don't know what that means, but Disco Elysium won it. Why are there games? Why are some games nominated for fresh indie game that are not nominated for independent game? This is I know you need sponsors, Jeff. I know you got to make that money somehow. Find a better way to do it. You should have just combined the independent game and the fresh indie game as just one thing instead of had two different categories for that. Or maybe you didn't feel like it would be legitimate since it was sponsored by Subway, I guess. I don't know. That's strange. Fighting game, Super Smash Brothers. Esports. Content creator, community support. Oh, community support. Destiny 2 won. How? How does Destiny 2 win for that? I'm not saying they don't offer good community support. Maybe, again, I need to know the criteria for what that means, community support. Is it this is a game that the community supports or that they support their community for? I am not sure. It can't be that. It can't be that they support their community. It's got to be the community that supports them. And so in that regards, Destiny 2 winning? Sure. Sure, I'll give them that. Because it ain't Bungie who is supporting the community. They try, man. The part that I don't get, the part that I'll never understand, is that you can have a game-breaking bug and they'll be right on it to disable that weapon or whatever that thing is until they can fix it. Usually when it's overpowered. If it's underpowered, we'll get to it when we can. Just deal with it and don't use that weapon. If it's overpowered, we've immediately removed it from the game. I mean, I understand because, you know, you get in PvP stuff and then you're just rocking and rolling in there, but what did we have? We had something go on just recently. Oh, there was some kind of mod that you could add to your equipment, and like your ultimate, your super would regenerate amazingly fast. And they took that mod out. They said, okay, we got to take this out until we can fix it. But if it was something that slowed it down, if it said, hey, this is not having the reaction that it should, it's actually slowing us down rather than speeding us up or whatever it's supposed to be doing, it's doing the opposite. Okay, we'll just don't use that. We'll get to it in a fix later. Yet they can jump in there and turn that stuff off immediately when you are overpowered. They do not like you being... They don't like you being powerful in that game. They really don't. It's really strange how they have aversions to you being powerful. You'll find ways to make yourself powerful after they make changes to the game, and then when they catch on to that, well, we're making changes again so you're not so powerful. Stop it. Anyway, Multile says that it says it is for recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency, and responsiveness. I will give you, I'm not even going to give you transparency on this, because they will not give us numbers. They never give us numbers. I don't know if Apex Legends or Final Fantasy XIV or Fortnite or Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, I don't know if you guys get numbers. I don't know if you guys get stats from the team of where we've buffed this 15% or we've taken this down 20% or we've done all these things. We have no numbers to work with. Bungie never gives us numbers. Never gives us numbers. They will say that they've reduced it to whatever percentage, but we don't know what it was to begin with, to know how much they've reduced it. Because they do not give us numbers. Art Direction, Control was the winner on that one. Action Adventure Game, Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice. Action Game, Devil May Cry 5. And the Game of the Year out of the Outer Worlds, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Resident Evil 2, Death Stranding, Control, and Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice. That was your winner. Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, Game of the Year. Probably a game I'll never play. It's in the Dark Souls type of difficulty thing or even gameplay style. Ain't my kind of thing. RJ, on the other hand, I wish he was here that we could talk about it because... yeah, his game won Game of the Year. Fantastic. So, as always, it's just an honor to be nominated, right? Okay, so we're coming to the end of this fun little experiment of me doing an entire show by myself for 2 full hours. And I have to say that it has been wonderful. I cannot thank you guys enough in the chat room for your support. I can't thank you enough for the calls that we got and your support as well. AC Wraith, Commander Root, Lethal Migraine, Megaxa, Multile, Mizarna Marie, I think. Probably screwing that name up. Sorry. Steven Van Damme, The Gamer Me, and Zenik Kyber, something like that. I don't know. I'm trying to pronounce your names, guys. Sorry, it's been crap. Apparently, Lethal Migraine says the Fast and Furious game is made by the Project Cars people. It looks like crap. I don't know if you looked it up, Lethal Migraine. The game looks like crap. So, once again, thank you all for joining us. I do appreciate that. We'll be back with at least more than just me next weekend. And I hope you guys have a fantastic week. I already told you what this next track was going to be. It's from Thomas Was Alone. The name of the track is called Inertia. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe to us on Facebook as well. We'd love to have you on there. Subscribe to us on Twitch. We'd love to have you here watching us every week. We do appreciate it. You guys, don't forget to join our Steam group. Don't forget to, if you're part of our clan on Destiny, which if you already are, you know about our Discord. There were people in our clan, the way Steam works, they didn't even know we had a Discord. So, yeah, that's something for another day. Thank you, everybody. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next Saturday.